Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us today. He is risen. You got to yell a little louder. I can't quite hear you. But we can praise the Lord that no matter what kind of circumstances we find ourselves in here today, that it didn't keep the resurrection from happening. And we can praise the Lord for that. Well, we have a little bit of music here to begin with. We did send out emails and regular mail some copies of the two songs that we're going to be singing. Hope you've dug those out by now and the outline that goes with it. And so we're going to have Doug come and share in music at this time.
Thank you, Pastor, and a good Resurrection Sunday to all of you. And I hope that you all are well. And I look forward to the time when we can all gather together again and worship the Lord here at church, as I know Pastor is also. So it's good to be here to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior and Lord here this morning. I'd like to start with a scripture verse from 1 Peter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God of the Father and our Lord, of our Lord and Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. All right, this morning we'll be singing number 213 in our hymnal, and Because He Lives, and 217, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
217 as we continue. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sitting on his throne, and he is in control. Thank you.
Thank you, Douglas and Maureen, for sharing with us here this morning. As we go to prayer here today, just want to encourage you to be praying for Jerry. Shared this in Sunday school, but I don't know if everybody was tuned in then. Fell yesterday and was taken by ambulance to the hospital. Turned out he broke his arm and his hip. They're going to be operating on him at 1 o'clock today. And so be praying for Jerry. Also, we can be thankful that maybe we don't live up north. Douglas just told me this morning that some up north got 6 inches of snow. I'm glad that we can look out our windows and see green grass. It means we'll have to mow here one of these days, but there's all kinds of things to be thankful for. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, though, is at the top of the list. Let's pray as we begin here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the opportunity to share, even though it's live streaming instead of people in the pews, but even though this kind of took us by surprise, it didn't surprise you. You knew exactly what was going to happen. We do pray that you'll give our leaders, both in Washington and in Madison, wisdom and decisions that they make, and that they will be looking to you for the right direction to take in the days and weeks to come here. We do pray for Jerry. Pray that you'd help him through this surgery here today. and you'll encourage him. We know it's, he likes visitors, and now that the hospitals are closed up, nobody can go to see him. And so we just pray that you continue to lift his spirits, and you'll give the doctors and the nurses wisdom and say, work with him, and that this surgery today will be successful for both his arm and his hip. We ask that you guide us in our study time here together as we rejoice together in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at John chapter 20 here today. And actually, I'd like to read 1 to 20, but we'll just kind of take half of that here this morning. And we'll kind of jump in here at verse 9 and following. It says, John chapter 20, "For yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went again unto their own home." So they were at home just like you are today. "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned back herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, thou hast borne him hence. Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and your Father, my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Well, we see here, they were excited to see the Lord Jesus. Today, we're excited that we have a resurrected Lord. Excuse me. And as we gather around our computers and our phones, we want to celebrate Easter. We want to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see, they were in their homes that Easter morning as well. And we want to give praise to the Lord for removing the stone that day, not to let Jesus out, but to let others in to see that he had indeed risen. And today we have a God who still opens closed doors. Sometimes behind those doors, there are little problems that kind of irritate us, that's inconvenience to us. And yet other times, the doors conceal some very large problems, sometimes impossible for us to do anything about. But the good news today is the fact that they're all the same to God. He can handle any of them. And today we want to consider, what does Easter stand for? And a multitude of possible answers for this. But we'll share with you six of them here today. And as we look at an acrostic of Easter and look at different aspects of that Easter account. And as we think about Easter, we know it starts with the letter E. And I believe that stands for the empty tomb. And that provides hope today for a hopeless world. I think we all need a little bit of hope. And I don't want our message today to be all about the virus, but it has consumed our lives here for the last couple of weeks and probably a couple more before we get freed again, even though it's 6 foot apart or however, whatever they determine. And as I was thinking about things that could give us hope, I came across this little story. Not sure how old it is. That doesn't really matter. But it was from Parade Magazine. And it tells about a story of a self-made millionaire, Eugene Land. And he was used to greatly change the lives of sixth graders there in East Harlem. Mr. Lang had been asked to speak to this group of 59 sixth graders. What could he say that would inspire these students, most of whom the records show would drop out and never complete high school? And he wondered how he could reach this predominantly black and Puerto Rican children to even look at him, let alone listen. And he decided that he was going to scrap his notes and speak from his heart. He said, "Stay in school." And he admonished them and gave them some hope by saying, "And I'll pay the college tuition for every one of you." At that moment, the lives of these students were changed. I believe they probably sat up and paid attention. For the first time, they had some hope that wasn't there before. One student said, "I had something to look forward to. Something was waiting for me. It was a golden feeling." And it went on to tell how 90% of that class went on to graduate from high school. I wish I knew how many completed college, but we don't have those details. But that would have been pretty awesome to be able to do something like that, to provide hope for 59 sixth grade children. But you know, we have a sure hope, an even better hope than that. Now, for these children, it probably made a big difference in their life for the next 60, 70 years, however long the Lord gave them. But we have hope that will last for eternity. And this hope is not a I hope, I hope, I hope kind of thing, kind of like when you blow out the candles for your birthday wish. Well, this is a sure hope, and one that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, that we can have forgiveness of our sins, that we can have eternal life because of his resurrection. He had victory over sin and death and the grave, and when he came out of that tomb. And the good news about Easter is that that empty tomb proves hope to a hopeless world. We see Jesus Christ had given hope to a lot of people when he was here upon this earth and ministering to people in different ways. To the woman who was standing before an angry crowd that was just waiting and wanting to punish her for her sins. To the leper who was an outcast from society. And to a blind man that was along the side of the road. To a paralytic man who was on a stretcher. To a woman who had a long-term illness. Thing was, Jesus was able to meet each one of those physical needs, no matter what the problem was. And he doesn't just meet physical problems today, too. Whatever your problem is, he's able and capable of meeting that. And that great message there about Easter is there's a tomb. There was a huge stone that was rolled up in front. And it was sealed, but that could not hold him in. Now, folks, that's power. Because he overcame death and the grave, he's powerful enough to move the problems that we face. Mental, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, whatever it might be, he's able to handle it. And the resurrection gives us strength and courage for everyday life that we face. Now, with the Lord's help, there's nothing that we can't overcome. And we need that hope. You need it. I need it. We all do. And not only is the Lord able to help us with our daily problems, but his resurrection from the dead gives us a sure hope, proof of his power. That if we die before the rapture takes place, he will raise us up. I tell people I'm looking forward to the upper taker, not the undertaker. But he's able to raise us up from the grave for eternity. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, knowing that he will, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Problem that Jesus had The fact that he was dead. Now that's a real problem. And yet he overcame it. Do you have a problem that big? He has more than enough power to help us with our problems too. And that's why the Easter account is such good news. The resurrection validates all his promises that Jesus can do just what he said he would. He said, I'm going to raise up in 3 days. And he did that. It gives us hope and light, encouragement, even when everything else looks a little bit bleak. And so that E stands for the empty tomb. It provides hope to a hopeless world. The A stands for angel, who invited the onlookers to come in and observe what had happened. Think about it. There in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. But he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, when these women came to the tomb initially, they were wondering, how were they going to get in? Who's going to roll away the stone? Well, God knew of that, and he sent an angel to take care of that problem. And you never know. The Lord might send an angel to meet some need that you have someday. We've been studying angels prior to Easter, and will again afterwards. But here this angel invites them to come inside, come and see the place where he lay. And look at the evidence. And God is still telling us to do that today. Look at the evidence for yourself. Investigate, if you will. And there is a lot of evidence. There's an empty tomb. The undisturbed grave closed. And I don't know how many pounds, a couple thousand pounds, 2,000 pounds. It was a big stone rolled in front of the door. And it was rolled away. And the Bible tells us there were over 500 eyewitnesses to the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus at the same time. And he says most of them are still alive. You can go and talk to them. They'll tell you. And the lives of the disciples were changed. It went from hiding in a room behind a locked door for fear to a willingness to die rather than deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and following, and this is kind of the condensed version of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain, or in other words, were still alive unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Billy Graham was quoted saying, there is more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there is that Julius Caesar ever lived or that Alexander the Great died at the age of 33. There's overwhelming evidence that he rose again. The tomb was empty. The soldiers, the guards, had no way to explain it. They had no story. Millions down through the years will attest to its reality. 2 Timothy 1:12, the Apostle Paul writes, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to keep his salvation secure. Paul did not say, I know what I believed, but he said, I know whom I have believed. He believed in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here this morning to tell you the same thing. I know whom I've believed, and I've searched, and I'm persuaded that he's arisen from the dead. I'm counting on that. And we follow him. It makes a difference in your life and mine. And millions down through the years have themselves trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. They've followed him. They've transformed their lives. There are atheists who have set about to prove the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ never happened. But they ended up being overwhelmed with evidence of the person of the Lord Jesus. And many of those who have done such research ended up coming to know Christ as their personal Savior as well, and deciding to spend the rest of their life following him. Come and see, investigate, the angel says, and you will believe. And so E stands for the empty tomb that gives us hope. A stands for the angel that invited them to look into the tomb. S stands for surprise at an empty grave. Jesus is alive. Now, people were surprised about many things. You know, the guards were surprised. The disciples were just surprised. The women that came to the tomb were surprised. Now, I'm not sure what the headlines were on the Jerusalem Times that Sunday morning, but I'm guessing that not too many people expected Jesus to show up. And so when he did, they were surprised. They were shocked as they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Everyone involved was surprised at how it turned out. The soldiers didn't have an answer. The religious leaders of that day didn't have an answer. They were trying to come up with some kind of a spin to put on it, and the only thing they could come up with was the disciples stole the body. Well, that didn't happen. But the religious leaders thought they had buried this guy. He was causing problems for them. And now he's dead. He's buried. No more problems here. And yet, no doubt they were shocked when Sunday morning came around and the stones rolled away and Jesus rose victorious over sin and death and the grave. And the greatest surprise this world's ever known. T stands for tell. We see that they were later commanded to tell others what they had seen. They were commanded to be witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and that gospel message. Matthew tells us there in chapter 28, verse 5 to 7, it says, "The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Notice verse 7, he says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And later on in the scriptures, there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus, before he's taken up into heaven, tells his disciples there in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And so after the angel had invited the surprised women into the tomb, he tells them to go and tell the good news to others. That command was given. And yet, unfortunately, that's a command that many today choose to ignore. Do you know how most people come to know Jesus Christ? Do you know what the most effective means of evangelism is? The most effective means of evangelism is one person telling another person how they came to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. It's tell a person, and it still works today, several thousand years later. Tell somebody how you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and how that they too can come to know this same Savior. Another effective way of evangelism is to one person inviting another person to come to church with them. And hopefully in another month or so, you'll be able to do that. It'll be a reality. We won't just be meeting, sitting out in the parking lot in our cars, but that we'll actually be able to see one another face to face. And many people come to Christ after they've accepted an invitation to come to church because they hear the gospel and they come and they respond to Jesus Christ's invitation to come. People are much more open to receive the gospel once they've come to church. They've opened up their lives to the influence of God's word and God's people. And their hearts are prepared. People are praying for them that they would be receptive to the gospel. But again, we can start with inviting somebody to church, and maybe even start now, saying, hey, when church opens again, would you come with me? You know, folks, we're in a mission together in this. We all play a part. The Apostle Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And folks, that still happens today. Somebody shares a word of testimony, they share a tract, somebody else comes along, tells them this same thing, and ultimately God works in their heart and draws them to himself, and they come to trust Christ for salvation. But it's something we do together. And many people know Jesus Christ because their grandparents or their parents told them about the Lord Jesus. Other Christians are praying for them. Friends invite them, people talk, greeters greet, preachers preach. All this kind of work together and people come to know the Savior. We do it together. And God is working in the midst of all of that. The Holy Spirit is working in their hearts and lives to convince them of their sin and need of a Savior. Softens up their hearts so they'll be receptive to the truth. And in time, in God's timing, they receive the salvation that's provided for them through Jesus Christ. And they have that assurance that they'll spend eternity with the Lord. So he says, go and tell. Well, then we come to the letter E. This time it's excitement. The women were feeling excitement that morning. And I wish we had the opportunity to interact a little bit. It'd be kind of interesting to what's got you excited here lately. At this point, instead of being excited about getting a day off of school, some of the children might be excited about going back to school, about seeing their friends, seeing their teacher. Parents that have been homeschooling here lately might be excited about the kids going back to school too. But wouldn't it have been exciting if everybody could have been here this morning? We had a packed house. That'd have been awesome. An opportunity to praise and rejoice together. And there, you know, it might be a great day. You know, that we think about the churches that were kind of filled up after 9/11. Unfortunately, people went back to their same old habits afterwards and church didn't seem to be a part of it. But I trust that things will be different now. And as we come together to worship the Lord, may we find that saying true, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Trust you're missing your fellow believers, and you want to be with them. Now, you know, we don't always see how things are going to turn out. We don't know what's going to happen around here tomorrow. And yet, for the disciples, they didn't know what was going to happen either. From Friday and Saturday, things looked pretty bleak for them. And what a difference a day makes. And you reach back in your memory bank, all the way back to when we were at war with Iraq. Some of you were old enough to remember and seeing the account of Private First Class Jessica Lynch. It was on March 23rd, 2003, that she was a part of a group of soldiers that were from the 507th Maintenance Company. And they were ambushed by Iraqi forces. And they didn't know what happened to her. And a week later, Tuesday, April 1st, she's still missing. And you can imagine the hurt, the anguish, the confusion. For the family, as they think about their daughter missing and presumed dead, but what we know now, they didn't know then, the fact that she had been injured in a roadside bombing, and she had been taken captive by the army, Iraqi army. But on the next day, April 2nd, word comes back that they had a daring rescue mission and that Private First Class Lynch was recovered and safely back with her own people. Can you imagine the excitement there in that Lynch home? Can you imagine the difference and the emotions from Tuesday to Wednesday? At one point, they thought she was dead, and now she's found alive. What a difference one day makes. You know, there might be some of you that are kind of still living in day one. That's the day of the trial. That's the day of the calamity of whatever kind it was. Maybe for you, it was when they told you you had to stay home. And some of you may be kind of stuck in that day one. But my encouragement is to maintain hope. It's not over yet. What a difference a day makes. Now, there are probably even more of you that we've moved on from that initial shock. And it's kind of like the disciples were on Saturday. The heat of the trial itself was over, but now it's a time of confusion, frustration, discouragement. And you may be feeling a bit that way here today. And perhaps your faith is a bit weak and wobbly, and the future seems a little bit cloudy. We don't know how this thing's all going to turn out. And especially if you're listening, and I keep picking on CNN, but they're not the only ones. There's some of them out there, there's just no hope. You know, we're just all going to die. Folks, that's not the way it's going to end. But if that's where you're at, let me encourage you. Maintain your faith. Keep looking to the Lord, not to the news or some doctor in Washington. Your hope ought to be in the Lord. He's promised to take us through whatever we come up upon. You know, and I was thinking about this. Sometimes we, you know, we've been, what, locked up for 20-some days? What about the Israelites who've been out there in the wilderness for 40 years? Or what about Noah, that was on the ark for a year with a bunch of smelly animals? You know, a day makes a big difference. And all of us are facing day number three, that day of victory, the good news day. And if you're not there now, folks, it's coming because Jesus Christ won the victory over sin and death and the grave. He arose that third day. And that day three brings hope. Day three says there's going to be a change in your future. Day three means victory, whether it's now or later in heaven. The best is yet to come. What a difference a day makes. Maintain your hope. Keep looking to the Lord. Get excited about day three. And that's exciting because day three has in store for us. Maybe it's victory in this life. And that's well and good, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we have another day three coming, a day that we're going to be with Him, a day of victory. We ought to get excited about that. You know, when we get to heaven, there won't be any quarantine, okay? There won't be any run at the store on toilet paper or whatever else that people are chasing after that day. We won't be out of eggs and milk and so on. Now, things are going to be a whole lot different. And so we see here this E stands for excitement. And the last letter we come to here is that of R. And that's the resurrected Lord. He's living today. And most of us know, but maybe some of you need to tell your children or your grandkids, Muhammad is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. Confucius is still in the grave. Mary Baker Eddy, the leader of the Christian Scientists, is still in the grave. Joseph Smith, the leader of the Mormons, is still in his grave. Charles Taz Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses is still in his grave. They're only all in their grave. Only Christianity has a resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ. Only faith in Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who rose from the dead. He had victory over death himself, and he's able to give us victory. Somebody in the grave is not a whole lot of hope. There's not much they can do for you. And so we have a risen Savior. No other religious leader has defeated death as Jesus Christ did. No one else can give us life beyond the grave. Nobody else can give us eternal life like Jesus Christ. And because of Easter, we know that Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything else we've ever experienced, anything in life or death. And the resurrection is not just another thing on the list of things that we as Christians believe in. Everything hinges on the resurrection. And we realize that when something in life kind of smacks us upside the face. I read an account of a man whose young daughter had died. It was devastating for the family, as you can imagine. But in her death, Easter took on a new importance. The father said, until you stare death in eye to eye, Easter's just another word. It's a nice day, bunny rabbits, eggs, chocolate. But when somebody precious to you dies, Easter becomes everything. It's the anchor in a fierce storm. It's the rock on which you can stand on. Hope that raises above despair because it keeps you going. And you know it's possible that you're going to be able to see them again because of the resurrection. See, everything in our lives as Christians hinges on the resurrection in our deep and darkest moments. And when we don't think that things are going to get better, the resurrection gives us hope that it can. And when we're in the midst of day one or day two, the resurrection gives us hope that day three is coming. Victory is coming. Christ died on Friday, but 3 days later, Easter Sunday morning, he rose from the grave. And that resurrection makes all the difference in this world and how we choose to live and where we're going to spend eternity. Now, maybe you're listening this morning and you're feeling a little bit that way. You need more grace. You need God's undeserved favor. You need forgiveness of your sins. You need some more hope. And folks, I'll guarantee it that you can find that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening this morning and need to make a decision? Perhaps it's a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will forgive your sins. He's able to give you that gift of eternal life that nobody else can give you. You can be assured that when you die, that you too are going to rise again and you'll be with the Lord forever. You say, well, that's what I want. How do I get that? What do I do? Well, the Bible says there's a few things that we need to know. We need to know that we are a sinner and in need of a Savior. And that as a sinner, we need forgiveness of our sins because that's what keeps us out of heaven. But my friend, Jesus Christ, God's Son, is your Savior. And he's able to forgive your sins, to cleanse you from all your sin with his shed blood. He's able to give you that gift of eternal life if you will believe and you will trust in him alone and his finished work on the cross for you. See, the thing is, he was perfect. He was without sin. And yet, he died for us. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die for our sins. And yet Jesus Christ became our substitute. He went to the cross and died in our place. And he's able to shed his blood. And that blood is able to cleanse away our sins. Thing is, though, he didn't stay dead. He rose the third day. He had victory over sin and death and the grave. And he wants that to happen in your life, too. And it will if you will trust in him alone for your salvation. Do you need to do that today? Are you ready to make that decision? If you are, would you pray with me right now? Dear Heavenly Father, those who are listening today and need to trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We pray that you help them to see their sin, need of a Savior. Right now, recognize our sin, and we want to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Realizing there's nothing that I can do to get rid of my sin. Jesus Christ's blood is the only thing that's able to wash it away. And right now, the best I know how, I want to trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. I want to turn away from my sin and turn to Jesus to accept his gift of eternal life. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to turn away from our sin and look to you for wisdom and guidance in decisions that we make every day the rest of our life, that we might seek to live in a way that be pleasing unto you. And we'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to share with you one other verse in closing here. There it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The Bible tells us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are indeed new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And if you've been listening to us today and you've made that decision, we'd encourage you to write, to call, to email us in some way. Let us know, and we'd be glad to, or if you have other questions, to try to answer them the best that we can. We encourage you to be with us again on Wednesday night at 7 for our Bible study, and Lord willing, next week at Sunday school at 9:15, and for Sunday school and morning service at 10:30. And Maureen will play a couple of songs here as we close today. Lord bless you.